You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
What does Colgate mean by live life to the brightest? Could it be a rich glass of red sipped inside a Parisian cafe on a snowy night when my gaze is met by a tall, mysterious... I mean, brushing is directed with Colgate Optic White Pro Series Toothpaste gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 3 days, so you can live life to the brightest and finish that glass without worrying about teeth stains. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim and Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and chili chef, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, junior employee.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
So would you guys like some lemonade? Or one of you? Or both of you? Either or? Combinations are endless.
Lemonade sounds great.
Okay.
I'd love an iced tea, actually.
You can go to hell.
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week, mailbag.
Yes, we're going to open up the mailbag, take some listener questions, interact with all of you guys.
We'll just dive right in.
Everyone's at home. We're writing us in.
There's several ways to contact us. We got email, Facebook, Instagram. I say it every episode. Every episode. So go ahead and
Sean, you say it very well.
Thank you very much.
Good at it.
But yeah, go ahead and write us in however you like to. We'll start with a voicemail, though.
Let's do this, yeah. And we've had quite a backlog here, so sorry if you've been sending messages, but we're trying to clear them out. I think we're caught up now.
We now have time.
We now have time. So going forward, we'll be on it. Okay, let's jump into this voicemail. This comes from Dave in Washington.
Hey, my name is Dave. Calling from United States. Washington. Just got into your podcast, loving it. Just wanted to point out on episode 3, you guys are going through songs that Andy sung and you completely forgot closing time. And not gonna lie, I was screaming at my windshield. So just wanted to drop that in for you guys. And then, yeah, next episode, you gave your phone number. So I love the podcast, guys.
We brought this upon
Thanks,
ourselves.
That's a good call, Dave. This is. Played this mainly to, fess up to, like, yeah, we missed a lot of stuff.
Clearly.
We get a lot of messages from you guys saying what we missed.
Many messages.
And
you're not wrong.
You're not wrong. But as we've said, there's a limited amount of water in the pool here of, like, office content. So we're not going to get every episode. We can't get everything. And we have to leave some there for later. You know, it's tough. We're trying to keep up with this.
That's good. You make it sound like we do it on purpose.
Yeah. Right?
I just want to make sure you guys are listening.
Yeah. We also had an Instagram comment from someone the other day who mentioned they were screaming at the gym with their headphones on while getting an answer to one of our trivia.
I think
one thing that's funny about that particular trivia question is that was Alex asking us to name every song that Andy sings in The Office, and he had a running list. We were trying to get them, trying to get everyone, and
like Dave said, our third episode,
right? And what's funny about that is that's actually something that we recorded probably a year before the show came out.
Yeah.
It was one of our first test recordings. You remember we recorded it like upstairs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were trying to figure out how it was all going to work. Yeah. And I remember like listening back to like that first test episode. I can't even remember what the discussion topic was because I don't think we repeated it.
No.
Yeah. I lifted that trivia out of that and put it in.
It was clearly the best from that thing. Yeah. But yeah, just a funny thing, a little Easter egg to keep in mind that was really, really early on before we even released the show or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, we're sorry we didn't say closing time. And
that's a great catch.
That's even come up in different ways since that we've left out that whole thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're sorry. But I'm glad that we can make you scream. Someone cares enough to scream at us, so that's cool.
We just care that you care. Thank you very much, Dave. We have a message from Facebook.
Yes, this message comes from Sagi? I don't know how to say it. I'm so sorry. It's S-A-G-Y. But it says, throughout the seasons, there are numerous women who Dwight rejects. Some of them throw themselves on Dwight, like Nellie, Isabel, the volleyball player from New York, and Dwight turns them down. I always wondered what his reasons were.
Amazons.
Hmm.
And I think it's, to me at least, it's more interesting that Dwight is just very attractive to all these different women. Yeah. Versus what his reasons are in the moment, but
yeah, but it is funny too that it's like Dwight can be like, you know, promiscuous, like he doesn't mind like just having some fun.
I'm ravenous after a night of lovemaking.
But then there's the other thing of like the wolf shirt. he's so like you know, looking for the ideal mate. So he's very particular about everything about a woman to the point that it's
calves, you know,
completely inappropriate.
One that isn't listed here is Esther from season 9.
Yeah,
a literal milkmaid, Dwight says.
Yeah, like the perfect woman for Dwight, you would think. But it's crazy too, if you think that early on, this happens fast for Dwight because he's asking Toby what the female vagina looks like early on in the show, and you know, a few seasons later, he's just like kind of confidently turning down women.
It was that conversation. I think so. that Toby. I think
so. Is it on the leg? That's one of the bloopers.
Oh my god! Is it part of it?
I think. I mean, if we talk about Nelly, it's that Dwight has sort of this change of heart that he's not going to sleep with Nelly to try to get the VP position. Mm-hmm. With Isabel, that is something that, to your point, is more of Dwight's surprising sexual charisma.
I think, what do we call it?
Yeah.
Well, then, so
good,
so
trivia team name.
He does turn down Isabel, and then like later when they're at Dave and Buster's, whatever,
Sid and Dexter's.
He's all of a sudden talking about her like she is an ideal mate. So maybe that's just
universal donor.
Because the first time he's like, she's a bumpkin and she makes love like one.
The dental hygienist from Carbondale. He also sees her at the during the delivery in season 6 when Isabel comes to bring mac and cheese to the house. Dwight is there, and
he's in the tank top.
Right.
Adults need to get their teeth cleaned too, Dwight. Some people choose to spend their money.
Yeah, that's right.
But then the last one is, or I guess this is earlier, but the volleyball player in New York, with whom Dwight makes out in the club. And Michael sends that picture to everyone while they're stuck.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, Dwight does not, even when he's flirting with a lady, he's not compromising who he is. He's very confident. He's very like, this is who I am, take it or leave it. And I think when there is a woman who's like really likes who Dwight is, then it's just like he's in. But he doesn't, he's so kind of detached in a way.
Yeah. Whenever he pretends to be something he's not successful. Like with Amy Adams in Hot Girl.
Oh, the purse.
He pretends that he wants to buy a purse. Doesn't work.
Oh yes, this is the prettiest one of all.
Or when they make him pretend he's a gentleman to get the wizard.
That's right.
I think too, just to kind of wrap up with Esther, that is almost the moment where
I'll take the wizard.
It accentuates Dwight and Angela coming back together at the end of the show.
Yeah.
That they were, you know, meant to be together overall.
Definitely. Definitely.
You shouldn't have to settle. This is my pledge to you. I will find her and I will bring her to you. And as God is my witness, she shall bear your fruit.
Oh, God. That was a great That's a question. Thank you very much to Sagi. We have an email from Aiden, Oklahoma City. So we actually have heard from this Aiden before, so this is a follow-up message. So I need to clear something up. My parents aren't actually Amish.
Well, we fell for this one.
Yeah, so we responded to this.
Really obvious in hindsight.
A few weeks ago. He says, I totally meant that as a joke at my parents' expense. And when they heard it, they died laughing. I do feel a little bad now because I don't have anything to say about the Amish community. Anyways, thanks again.
I love this. I love that he wrote back.
That's really funny. I guess, you know, maybe the whole family's listening to the podcast together. Yeah. So that maybe that makes up for this lie.
You know, this is the thing.
Deceitfulness.
You know, we ask a lot of ways to get messages. This is why voicemails are nice, because you can hear if someone's joking. But in an email, all we can know is, you know, oh, okay.
We're going to take it.
I guess his parents are Amish.
I mean, it's okay. I think things are balanced, because we also have very little to say about the Amish community. Yeah.
I know.
We're still waiting for that Amish
coming
listener
from a place of no knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's okay, Aiden.
Thanks for playing.
We're glad
along.
That your parents like the joke.
Yeah, and we're glad you like the show.
Yeah, thanks for listening and for writing in, and for following up. We appreciate that too.
I had so much egg on my face.
We were ooh.
He faced the music.
Guys, we gotta. What is Amish?
Yeah,
let's talk about it. Of course, he's not Amish.
Right. We
what's next?
He emailed us. Let's go.
Next up, we have a voicemail from Sunny.
Yes.
Sonny, wait, whom we called Jenny.
Yes.
When she called in previously.
Yes.
Again, a Google transcription
apologies
error
for that.
Yes. So sorry, Sonny.
Okay, Google transcribed it as Jenny instead
yes.
of Sonny.
All right, here we go. Yes.
Hey, guys. It's Sonny from San Antonio, and it's Sonny, not Jenny.
All right, there we go.
I was the caller that left a voicemail about the correlation between women in the office and their male counterparts and their confidence boosting and all of that. So I guess I did not leave a voicemail saying how I felt about what I had said. So I really don't have an issue with it, and that might be an unpopular opinion with a lot of people. I think it's a sweet thing, because I don't necessarily think that these women gain their bigger personalities and their confidence stances through just simply having a male counterpart. I think it's having the right male counterpart that's the key to it, because if you look at the drastic difference between Pam with Roy and then Pam with Jim, it's night and day. And then honestly, same thing with Kelly when she was with Ryan, and then really any other person that she's with at all, she's instantly a better person. And Angela, even with the senators compared to Dwight, I mean, she was unbearable when she was with the senators. So I think that it's a really
State
sweet
Senator.
Thing that they did to show what being with the right kind of person, whether it be just a friend or, you know, a partner in life, what that can do for you in the rest of your life. Thank you guys so much for dissecting the issue so much, though. I really, really appreciate it. I love your show. Please continue doing it for the rest of ever. Bye.
Oh, my gosh. Thanks so much, Sonny. Like, thank you so much for calling back. Thanks so much for thinking that through. I mean, what do you guys think?
That's a really good point
yeah,
about
another
Pam
point,
with,
yeah.
with Roy. You know, it's like, I wouldn't totally. Say she's confident or...
I love that she brought up Angela and the senator. Like,
totally.
Angela's like a much happier person in the end of the show when she's with Dwight than...
Quick
than...
context, too, for people that haven't heard. So Sonny had called in saying that basically, like, a lot of the female characters on the show...
Right.
They get a lot of personality and confidence sort of once they have a male counterpart.
Right.
Which, and then Sonny calls back here to sort of see how she feels about it, which I think is a really good point that like Kelly's a great example when she's with Daryl, even though she's like, and they're having the ping pong competition
yeah.
and she's really like up in Pam's face about yeah. everything. It's totally different from when
yeah.
she's like back in the corner with Ryan arguing and Ryan's like, give me all your money. And she does, you know, it's like not a good fit. And
no,
she's
by the way,
not
you owe me
person.
$6 for gas.
I guess that's the relationship
let's have sex one more time. If you have any extra money, that'd be great.
Some friends from high school. Well, high school.
So yeah, no, I think that's a really, really good point. And like, yeah, that's, you could even look at Michael with Jan.
like loses a lot of his confidence and his
ability. Oh my god, that's totally like, true.
And I'll then go back to Jan and I hate Jan.
When he switches with Holly, it's totally different. But I think that's a really good point.
I don't even have Jan's number and I hate her. No, to echo what these guys said, a very well made point, I think. Agreed.
It's finding the right partner sort of unlocks, mm-hmm. you know, it's like a key.
Yeah.
That unlocks you mm-hmm. to the universe.
I think she nailed it. So thank you, Sunny, for calling in with that question and call in if you ever have another thought again. You're really cool.
Any thoughts? It doesn't have to be
like
about the office.
From her. She's very well thought out message. So thank you. Next up from Instagram, Evelyn.
Yes, this question comes from Evelyn on Instagram. She says, I have a question for you all besides the obvious ones, Dwight, Michael, and Jim. What character do you see yourself involved with romantically or friendship-wise?
So I think, and we've mentioned Evelyn before. She wrote to us once before, I think, when we were doing our episode on the delivery.
She responded about to the cold open draft.
Oh, okay. But
we'll cut this.
Yeah. So I would say just pick it up where we responded to the question. Yep.
Okay, who would I be friends with or romantically involved with? I was thinking, unfortunately, I feel like I would be friends with Ryan. Because I think that we share a lot of interests. You know, his whole hipster phase.
Lofts in Soho.
Yeah. We could talk about
algorithms
music,
that predict outcomes of college basketball games.
Art. Photography,
scarves,
bodega sandwiches at 2 a.m.
That's right.
Cool, hip new places in Scranton to hang out. So, because he's one of the younger people in the office, mm-hmm. and I'm not into sports. I don't think Jim would be down. I don't think I'd be able to talk to Jim very often.
Yeah, I think you'd be really good friends with Pam. So we do some graphic design together. And
that's smart. True. Yeah, sure.
You know, I could see you and Ryan being good pals.
Yeah.
Pam. The sports thing is like, I'd definitely be friends with Jim. I mean, I think, but we're not saying that. So Daryl. Like definitely Daryl through fantasy football and Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah,
I would just
be
friends with them because we'd be around. We'd be talking. We'd probably be going watching games together, stuff like that. I would say Daryl and Kevin for sure. And I definitely want to be friends with Creed. Like, I would want to do a story about him. I'd want to interview him, but I don't think he'd be into it. I think he'd be hard to, he would never come to anything we set up. Like, hey, let's meet at 2, and I don't think he'd ever be there. But I would love, and I would also love to be friends with Meredith. I think she'd be a whole lot of fun.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably not romantically, but I think we'd have a lot of fun.
You want to come over to my place? We can drink Appletinis and watch Sex and the City?
Yeah. Sounds great. I'm in.
It does sound fun.
I think friendship-wise, for some of the same reasons you mentioned, like being into sports and things like that, hanging out with Daryl, Kevin maybe, for that same reason. Musically, jamming with Kevin and the Zits.
Yeah, you'd be great.
Pretty fun.
Oh, hell yeah.
Pam seems very easy to talk to. She'd be an easy person to be friends with. Also, kind of out of the box, Pete, season 9.
Oh, sure.
He's a nice guy.
Sure.
I also love tennis.
You like NASCAR?
Yeah. Well, if we could talk tennis. But he seems like a nice enough dude. Yeah.
Sure. I mean,
Aaron would be very easy to be friends with.
Aaron would be great. You could like add her to any group. She'd be lovely.
I've always found at work that I get along very well with accountants. I think I would befriend the three of them just through the work. I enjoy paperwork. I usually get my paperwork right. I like making jokes about it. Small talk. I think I'd befriend them very quickly.
What about
what a fun and interesting friendship this would be.
Yeah. I don't think I think it'd be hard to be friends with Phyllis or Stanley. I just age difference. I just don't think Stanley doesn't want to do with anybody.
I think the most interesting person to try to think about being friends with is Oscar. Because
yes,
on some level,
say.
Oscar is a nice guy, and he's like very personable, it seems like, with the rest of his coworkers. But at the
he's
same
not
time,
nice of a guy.
Well, that's true.
He's polite.
He really fills the stereotype of smug gay Mexican, right? As Jim says. But it does seem like he's friendly with a number of characters.
Yeah.
And the Finer Things Club happens. Oscar seems to keep a lot of his personal life at home. You know what I mean?
He does.
Yeah.
He
especially
does.
Early in the show.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't know if I'd get along with Oscar that well.
I just don't think we would. But I do feel like I get along with Toby. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the Finer Things Club members, mm-hmm. I feel like I could hang. Toby seems like an easy hang, and I'd love to learn about trains from him.
Yeah,
I'm into that.
I love true crime. He loves murder.
I'd love to read his writing. Yeah. I think we could be great friends.
Yeah.
So what about romantically?
Romantically involved? I guess. I mean, you know. I mean.
You know what? I'm going to give Karen Filippelli a call.
That's what I thought, too. Yeah, the most obvious answer, I think.
Amy Adams has been a celebrity crush ever since Catch Me If You Can. Whoa. So I'm going to... she'd be at the top of my list. Yeah. Yes. That's right.
I know. I had a crush on her, too. It's okay.
I think Karen Filippelli is...
Yeah,
is
that's
the,
a great
yeah.
one.
And right. I feel like she gets... kind of a bad shake with
totally. She's great, and it's just like she's kind of a victim of.
Turns out this job is pretty easy when your boss isn't an idiot and your boyfriend isn't in love with someone else.
I mean, Kelly definitely seems like the most fun in terms of like she always wants to go out and mm-mm. do things and see people and stuff like that. So that could be mm-mm. that could be fun, but I don't know if I can handle
you can't.
Anyone.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Well, thank you, Evelyn. That's a great question.
Yep.
Moving on. We got a voicemail from Vito.
Hey, guys. This is Vito from Nashville, Tennessee. Got a quick question for you guys. First of all, big fan of the podcast.
You sound like
do it every day. I recently saw a YouTube video that discussed an unlikely romantic pair between two of our favorite Office characters. And those characters are Andy and Kelly. And I thought that was, you know, kind of an interesting combination, you know, kind of weird. But after I watched the video and started thinking about it more, I realized, wow, you know, that might have worked out well. For example, you know, Kelly loves receiving big, grand, romantic gestures. And Andy loves giving big, grand, romantic gestures. For example, when he gave Aaron the 12 days of Christmas, definitely. You know, he loves showing love and affection, and Kelly loves receiving it. So, you know, that just makes a lot of sense to me. And, so I thought it might be kind of interesting for you guys to talk about, some romantic pairs in The Office that we never saw on screen, but you think might have worked out well. So anyway, big fan of the podcast. Thanks again for all you guys do, and I hope you all have a great day. Thanks
so much, Vito. That's interesting. Kelly and Andy should have wound up together. I mean, they play with this idea. He gives everyone in the office a Valentine's Day card. Maybe that's in the video that Vito watched, but
There's that moment when Andy is giving everyone Valentine's, but he's going to give a Valentine to Aaron to kind of tell her how he feels, and it goes to Kelly instead.
Yeah.
And Kelly is...
Or he just buys a bunch of random cards.
Right, yeah.
And mm-hmm. happens to give Kelly a very romantic one.
Well, because I think Aaron originally gets the one with, like, Snoopy and Woodstock.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
you named them?
Yeah. Yeah.
But then
they also have the dance-offs.
That's true. But that's Kelly right. says... Do you realize how much that makes me like you now that you said that you like me and now you say you don't?
Yeah.
That's a very Kelly thing to do. I think they also have an interest in like celebrity culture and movies and pop culture, that kind of thing.
They're both kind of shallow yeah. enough for each other.
The dance-offs is an interesting thing as well. They have a couple
yeah, of like, two dance-offs.
They have the thing where they're like, are we doing this? Are we now... Yeah, and they both go with it.
What else? I was just dancing with my friends, y'all.
Maybe if Andy hadn't tore his scrotum, that would have worked out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else you got?
Yeah. It's kind of funny when I heard the voicemail. I was like, I actually never even thought about that pairing. Like, mm-hmm. that actually would have worked. I think you're right.
It makes pretty good sense. Well, any others come to mind? Well, I mean, we've mentioned a few things before. There's a Roy Angela theory out there.
Mm-hmm. I love the Roy and Angela pairing.
Yeah, I mean, Angela's mentioned before, like, oh, you know, Roy, you're so strong and you'll do just fine, yeah. something like that. And then
strapping
Roy,
young lad,
when they're in the parking lot during the fire mm-hmm. episode, they're playing Who Would You Do, and Roy's just like, oh, that small blonde woman.
Yeah.
That tight-ass Christian chick.
Oh, God. That's right. That's yeah, what that's right.
I think he says uptight.
Uptight blonde chick. Yeah, something like that.
If we're going off that, then what about Jim and Kevin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's afterwards, right. they could just watch bowling. Yeah.
It'd be great. It'd be awesome.
What about Ryan and Karen Filippelli?
Right. Well, Ryan. Yeah. Ryan tries a couple of times.
Well Karen emailed Ryan.
Karen emailed Ryan.
Do you? I've always wondered about that.
Oh, yeah, this is a good question. Yeah.
Do you wonder if he is just making that up, or if that's true?
He really doesn't seem like he's making it up. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like later Ryan. This is still earlier Ryan, where he's like,
well, this is corporate Ryan.
Yeah.
This is corporate right. Ryan, who, although.
He did
plays
defraud the company.
Everything very cool. We know is full of shit the whole time. So is he, and he does it as just like a little thing to like jab at Kelly. Almost.
Like he just makes it up and he's
right.
like, I can say whatever I
right.
want.
Right, which I'm is right this. Before she says, I am pregnant and I am keeping it. Guess what, Buster? I'm pregnant. And I am keeping it.
We have a date.
Yeah.
It does seem kind of out of character for Karen, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
It really
yeah.
does.
Yeah,
and we already know that Ryan will just like email mm-hmm. any woman he meets. He did it to Katie
and
any
celebrity. He's like, most of their emails are just their name at
guy by the name of John Legend.
Yeah.
It's a wolf.
Well, okay, put that aside. Do you think Ryan and Karen would have been a good couple at all?
No.
Mm-mm. She would have been like, what's wrong with you, dude? She would have, mm-hmm. you know what it would have looked like? I feel like it would have looked like, Rashida Jones and Aziz Ansari in Parks and Rec when they're
that's
dating,
really good.
And she's yeah. just like
Dan Perkins and yeah. Tom Haverford.
Yeah, and she's just like, "Come on, dude!" The whole time,
they might have. I think Ryan could get one fun date, and it might go well.
Yeah,
and then I think after that, it would go downhill.
He would be able to fake his way through a date.
I think one, and then, I think she'd see through.
And then
him
he would
right
slowly
away.
Unravel.
Yeah.
You know what? It's so funny that you mention. Ann Perkins and Tom Haverford in Parks, because yeah. we did get another message a little while ago from Kelsey on Facebook, who mentioned that if we ever had a crossover between Parks and The Office, it would be really hard because what do they do with Rashida Jones?
Yeah,
changing out of her scrubs.
She comes in and is yeah. like, "Hi, everyone, I'm mm-hmm. Ann," and they're like,
mm-hmm. "Don't see it. I moved to Indiana.
I had to start a new life."
Or you do like a Lindsay Lohan Parent Trap thing where you do like the double.
Yeah.
yeah. Oh, they meet each other?
Separated at birth.
That the Karen really Trap.
Funny. Yeah. The Karen
oh,
Trap.
Oh, boy. We're on a tangent now. But
Karen.
On a heater.
Any other possible romances?
All these
the
questions
office?
Have kind of gotten together.
I guess,
nice.
Yeah. I
yeah,
guess
they all flow together.
We've talked about Phyllis Stanley before.
Mm. Have we?
Yeah. I think so. Okay. I think we've mentioned it, but if we haven't, I'll mention it now. Phyllis and Stanley.
Sure.
Could be a couple. There's kind of that part in the finale when Phyllis is, you know, talking about how Stanley's such a, you know, sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. She kind of has this moment where she gets teary-eyed talking about Stanley. They seem to be on the same page a lot. Just keep the steak coming.
Gabe and Andy. Gabe could
Gabe
make
and
his,
Andy.
Gabe could make his soundscapes. Andy could sing over him.
Yeah.
Great.
I could see that. That's good. Well,
there's a meme out there that says, if there's one thing that I've learned from The Office, is that if you're in a toxic relationship, just, you know, remain hopeful and just know that, you know, don't worry because you can eventually get out of it and your life will be okay, because don't worry, your Laura is out there.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
That
one,
you
start your own business.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you start your own gravel company, yeah. And find your Laura. Yeah.
Yep. thank you very much, Vito. Next up, We have an email from James from sunny England. My kids have seen the odd clips of the show, but I sat them down to watch the Halloween episode Spooked in season 8. They laughed a lot, but the only downside was that my 7-year-old kept quoting Robert California by saying, "I'm fine, bitch."
That's amazing.
Wow.
He says, I also realized some of the other influences from my viewing, as my 9-year-old referred to Steve Carell as Brick as soon as she saw him. Brick from from Anchorman. That's so funny.
Jeez.
Oh my gosh. I just want to know about the conversation that James had to have after that.
Yeah, right?
Oh gosh, that's so funny. Thank you, James, for sending that in. That's just funny imagining that. We have a voicemail from Chelsea.
Hi guys, this is Chelsea from Oklahoma. I love what you do, and I've been working my way through all of the episodes. The last one that I just listened to was on the topic of an Office reboot or reunion. And I think I came up with the perfect idea that checks all the boxes, where it could be centered around Michael Scott, but not have to have Steve Carell. It could embrace the fact that the cast is all older and give them a reason to reunite. Michael Scott has died, and they all did it.
Oh my God.
Then you could have something like Holly being instructed to fulfill ridiculous wishes that he left in his will. Maybe she has to give his possessions to the other characters. You could get to see his kids in Colorado, and it would be dark and tragic. So that might be a fun way to do it. Anyway, keep doing what you do, guys. I love all of this podcast, and see you later.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
We never came up with that. We were pitching
that
ideas.
It's
a dark one.
I love that idea. The idea that
I knew you would.
That if we're going to do a reunion, let's just have everyone reunite for Michael Scott's funeral. That's hysterical. I actually love that idea.
I mean, guess how old would his kids could be old enough to be, you know, what, 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there?
Mm hmm.
I feel like they had twins. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Just feel like they had twins.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It would be a reason to bring everyone back together and get to see everyone kind of interact again and catch up and things like that.
I do like embracing that they're older, you know, just like leaning into that. And and I remember talking about this episode. We were throwing around all sorts of ideas. Ed, when you sort of mentioned even like moving laterally to like a different branch of The Office,
yeah,
and sort of resetting the whole thing with a new cast, you know, as that's more of the reboot. But as a reunion, it's like, what would be the reason? This isn't a bad. This is a pretty good one.
I love it. I think it's great. I don't think NBC would ever do it.
No. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. It's like, hey, here's the reunion. By the way, Michael Scott's dead now, and it's just like, oh, I don't. That's gonna bum me out. No thanks.
Yeah. No,
I don't want to know that he's dead.
You could have it be Michael is pranking everyone.
Oh,
oh
God.
Man.
You just got X Punk.
She's like, I knew there'd be no other way that you would all come to my house.
You should have seen your face.
Yeah.
He's still like deeply insecure that no one would come unless he died. An Ed Truck scenario. I mean, he sort of plays this out in grief counseling, right?
Hey, sweetie, what's going on? It's not sweetie, it's Michael Scott.
That would be really dark.
Yeah.
And Amy Ryan would have to do a lot of work in that as like, you know, the widower who's the widow who's
but I love it as a
giving his possessions traveling around.
I like challenging ourselves to come up with reunions that don't involve Steve Carell, as we all kind of we just discussed, he probably wouldn't come back for it. And everyone else probably
would. You don't think he'd come back for like one special, one movie?
It hasn't happened yet.
A 1 hour long special. Yeah,
I did really love when he hosted SNL a couple years ago, maybe last year.
Mm-hmm.
They had members of The Office.
They brought out like Ed Helms and
Jenna Fisher and Ellie Kemper.
Ellie Kemper.
And then at the end, he invites them all up on stage and he says, "I am proud to announce that we have a very great show tonight."
Yeah,
and,
you know,
Maroon 5 is here. I don't know who was actually there, sure. But yeah,
good guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a good one, though. I like hearing the pitches for the for the reunions. It's tough to do it without Michael.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very tough. But I love this idea. I love fully embracing the idea that Michael's not here. He's dead.
He's just completely gone.
Wouldn't it be fun to think if, I'm just thinking out loud here, what if like Michael's son had a similar personality to Michael and wanted to live up to his dad's legacy, so gets a job as a salesman at Dunder Mifflin.
Yeah.
And it's about like a Michael Scott Jr. or something like that. And he is to start his way, work his way up from a junior sales associate.
Gary Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Scott.
He basically comes in as Ryan, as like a temp. Yeah. At the same branch. Sure. Dwight's still running it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, thank you so much, Chelsea.
Yeah,
that's
Chelsea,
really fun idea. All right. And now we have a voicemail from Kayla.
Hello. This is Kayla from Facebook. Your productivity czar. I just wanted to speak to you, manager, about a callback that happens in the Florida arc that I feel like you guys missed, which was surprising because it's in what I believe is the podcast flagship episode, which is Fun Run, Season 4, Episode 1, when Michael is telling the office that he had to take Meredith to the hospital because he hit her with her car and makes it sound like she is dead.
Right.
Andy then does this in Last Day in Florida, Season 8, Episode 18, when announcing to the office that Dwight is not coming back from Florida, and again, makes it sound like he is dead. So I just wanted to point that out. Thank you guys for everything that you do for this podcast. Can't wait to hear more episodes. Have a good one. Bye.
Thanks, Kayla.
Yeah.
That is a funny callback. I think we've mentioned this before, like repeating jokes from long ago in the show and stuff like that, just as a little, I don't know, callback.
Yeah, whenever the show can echo itself or kind of fold in on itself is a moment that I think is really important or significant.
Worth pointing out.
Sort of way. Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think, too, there's something to be said about similar joke structures that makes it kind of fun to do that as well. Yeah.
I mean, this is a great joke, and it even reminds me of this joke is even in Arrested Development and some other shows.
Say, oh, yeah.
I've seen this joke has been in other stuff.
It's with a doctor, basically.
Yeah, the doctor in Arrested Development is like,
well, we've lost.
He's going to be all right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because he lost his left hand.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Good callback.
Yeah. This reminds me as well of a another message that we got from Dottie on Facebook who mentions, let's see. Anyway, wanted to point out two subtle movie references that I noticed in Love that I think maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Season 3, Episode 13, The Return. Dwight has moved on and is working at Staples. Michael decides to go bring him back. As Michael walks into the Staples store, Up Where We Belong from An Officer and a Gentleman is playing on the Muzak. From then to the end of the scene, it's a total reference to the last scene of the film where Richard Gere goes and picks up Deborah Winger. I love it. Right? Love lift us up where we belong. Right? Where the eagles fly. You know that song?
Yeah.
On the mountain. And then the second one, the second is from season 7, episode 24, Dwight K. Schrute, acting manager. She linked a YouTube clip, but it's basically the ending scene of the movie Working Girl with Melanie Griffith. Which I wasn't super familiar with. I mean, I know of the movie. I haven't seen it. But it's a scene where she calls from the office. She says, "You're never going to guess where I am now." And then in the office, it's Moe's going,
"Oh, yeah, my gosh."
So a couple fantastic little movie references that,
That is so funny.
I love hearing those. And you hear that a lot on commentary tracks or the writers are just like, "Oh, this from this movie inspired me." Or, "I love the way an actor did this in a movie, and we wanted to write a similar type of scene." Because sometimes you just never know about that, because it's almost like the writer's doing it for the writers.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter that we don't know, because it's still funny.
Right.
So I wonder how many more of these things that we haven't caught yet.
Oh, of course. And I mean, to some people, I'm assuming those are very glaringly obvious, but you know, you never know what movies or pop culture things people have seen. And it's interesting to think that a show like The Office or any other show or movie, as it references and draws inspiration from other movies, TV, film, or whatever, that what people maybe people growing up will see those scenes and be like, "Oh, that's that scene from Dwight K. Schrute, acting manager," for example.
Right,
know?
Yeah.
We've talked about Michael having his movie moments where he does stuff that he's seen in movies.
Steak. Where's my steak? Get Armani.
And
you're not going to Paris.
Michael does a lot of like, oh, here's a big romantic or dramatic gesture I've seen in a movie. Mm-hmm. This should work because I worked in the movie. Mm-hmm. So I get Michael's almost a catalyst for that mm-hmm. in the world of the show. And then there's also definitely. Moments that are written. Yeah.
Definitely.
Good stuff.
Well, thank you guys so much to everyone who sent us messages. Thank you if you send us messages and we haven't responded to them yet or haven't put them on the show yet. We do log all these away and we pull them out for rainy day mailbag episodes like this. Please give us a call. 503-694-9314.
The plants are going to love this. It smells like popcorn.
503-694-9314. Call and leave us a message. We love to play them on the show. You can email us mspodcastcompany@gmail.com or on Facebook and Instagram, Michael Scott Podcast Company. We're on Twitter at Michael Scott Pod, and we have a website, michaelscottpod.com. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who runs our social media and does our artwork. And this episode was recorded.
Nice.
This episode was
I'm keeping all this. Come on, you Please can do don't. It. You can do it, bud.
This episode was recorded in Portland, Oregon.
Yes, Thank it you was. So much for listening. As Sean said, we appreciate everyone. Can't wait to be back. Love lift us up where we belong.
Hippity poppy, give me the salad.
Yes, sir.
Da 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 da